Dear congregation, there's a mindset that suggests being a Christian brings prosperity. You may have heard of the prosperity gospel and think that's what I'm referring to, but that wouldn't be correct, because there's a version of Christianity, even among Reformed Christians, that says if you are a real Christian, life will be good. And that may sound casual, but it can be expressed in theological terms. Those who glorify God will experience things going well. If you think about that for a moment, you can think of biblical examples where that seems to be what is being said. Think of Psalm 1. Those planted by the river of water will be like a tree that is fruitful, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do will prosper. Or the parables, right? The gospel's like a seed. When it falls onto good ground, it grows and bears much fruit. Or the gospel is like a treasure hidden in a field, and those who find that field and buy it will have treasure. Or the kingdom's like a most valuable pearl. Sell all the other ones and buy this pearl. And sometimes, in some people's minds, the implication is those who have this pearl, the right field, the proper soil, the right river, they will prosper. And within the very physical culture, material culture around us, that is assumed often to be physical and material prosperity. And they can say with Azariah in 2 Chronicles, you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for if you are strong, your work shall be rewarded. Or point to lessons from Romans. Those who are set free from sin are become servants of God. Those who are married to the risen Christ, so that they would go out and dedicate themselves to Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let your light shine. Right? The gospel's good. It's worthy of being praised. It's beautiful. It must shine forth as strongly, as brightly, as powerfully as possible. Especially those who know they have received the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and recognize how special that is, what a gift it is. God has shone in their hearts. Certainly, that is worth celebrating, keeping, protecting, placing in a special container. Right? It's like taking that treasure of that great pearl and not wrapping it up in a paper bag, but wanting to put it in a splendid, shatterproof, secure, awesome showcase in the middle of the room with all the light shining down on this great pearl of great price, and sending out the news releases saying, you got to come and look at this. It's the perfect one. It's the right one. It's the ideal. Right? And so often we think that that's the way lives have to be when God enters them. They need to be perfect. They need to be ideal. They need to be, as it were, put on the showcase, and all the lights have to be shone down on them. Here's a true Christian. Here's a real Christian. But that is not what God intends. We want to consider together this afternoon God's word through Paul to the Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Not a showcase, an earthen vessel. Earthen vessels are those pottery mugs people buy. Right? Made with clay, dust, water. They've been made with hands. They might even be made by the same potter, but no two of them is identical. They're sturdy in one sense, fragile in another sense. Their worth is great. Right? They're not foam disposables. They're more valuable, but they have to be recognized for what they are. Earthen vessels. And why does God, through Paul, tell the Corinthians and us this afternoon that the treasure of the gospel is placed in an earthen vessel? Why would God put such a valuable, precious thing in something so common and earthy and fragile and weak and limited? And that's the main question this afternoon. Why would God put the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels? Those who know they are earthen vessels come to realize why. But it comes by understanding, yes, even God's word. And I want to go through this passage with this question in mind. Why did God put the gospel in such a vessel? The first reason I point you to is those who are earthen vessels recognize their limits. You know, pottery can be very beautiful. It's functional. It ages well. And yet an earthen vessel has limits. It can only hold so much. It can't be dropped. It has difficulty with sudden changes in temperature. It can easily crack, chip. And the reality is, people are a little different. They have limits. The limits of people today are partly genetic, partly gifting, partly routines and habits, partly external forces. And yet, even if we understand responsible care is to be given to an earthen vessel, we need to understand that God is the potter and He's sovereign over people's lives, including this part, their physical composition. And the gospel comes to and lives within people of varying physical compositions. They have limits. And Paul's no stranger to those limits. You look at verse 8, right? People may be hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, being dragged down to death. And why are all these things feeling like pressures? Because we are but created vessels. We are to know that none of us can live by our own strength. Our hope is not to be in our physical performance and in our ability to take on anything. God says, that's not the way I made you. And yet, Paul, as he's writing, knows or points to why God's made people in these various ways. The limits that God's made people with doesn't extinguish their service. No, as Paul says, we are hard-pressed but not crushed. We are perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. We recognize these limits, and yet it doesn't stop us from serving, from being lights, from being, as it were, vessels holding the gospel. Because the gospel is not dependent on any one person or any one person's physical composition. Why not? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Right? If God were to say, this is the gospel, and here's the ideal, suddenly, the excellence of the power of the gospel, we would want to say as people, is because people are like this. Human ability, human effectiveness, human Christian living. This is what it's like. But no, it's in earthen vessels, those who are limited by their own composition, so that the power of the gospel is of God. So the first reason we see is those who are earthen vessels recognize their limits. But secondly, those who are earthen vessels understand the imitation of Christ. Paul says here, the earthen vessel carries about in it the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested, that's shown in our bodies. Right? In other words, we are earthen vessels so that we remember that Jesus came down to earth and he took on earthen vesselness. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And why does that matter? Because if Christ himself took on flesh, and if he humbled himself to the point of flesh, and if he took on human limitations, and if he experienced human weakness, it shouldn't bother Christians when they have to admit their weakness. Christ had to take his time. He was bound by time. He had to pray. He had to retreat into the hills. He showed emotion. He couldn't please all people. And then remember, Christ in agony, Christ burdened under the cross, Christ thirsting, Christ humbled without proper clothes. And if we think the gospel needs to come only to those who are better than earthen vessels, we are saying we need to be better than Christ. See, even in the most vulnerable positions, we have a Savior who understands. Thirdly, those who know they are earthen vessels have the opportunity then to improve the expression of their faith. Now, this happens in a couple of ways. People who don't admit weakness seem to have little need for Christ. Those who fail to see their own suffering and pain are closing their ears to God's, as it were, shouting through the megaphone, saying, "You're but dust. You will return to dust. Are you ready to meet me?" But those who recognize they are but dust can be going through so much and feeling their weakness and their fatigue and their limits, and yet trust God. There's so many illustrations of this in Scripture, but let me just give you a graphic one from Psalm 119. "I have become like a wineskin in smoke. Right? Smokers are pretty popular these days. What happens when a piece of meat's put on the smoker? It cooks. It dries. Right? And you leave a piece of chicken skin or layer of fat on too long and it dries out, it gets hard, brittle, cracks. And the psalmist says, that's how I feel. I'm like a wineskin in the smoker. Yet I do not forget your statutes. I'm an earthen vessel, dried up, cracking, and yet I don't forget you, Lord. And so Paul, in this chapter, verse 13 and 14, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. There is intentional heavenly purpose for your weakness. You might not understand it, but you need to live believing it. Because, next, those who know they are earthen vessels learn to value the eternal and the invisible. If you think something's indestructible, you give it to anybody because you don't care about it as much, and you're not worried if they care about it as much as they should. Right? So you don't give the pottery mug to a toddler. You give them a plastic cup. They can throw it. Many people live as if they are plastic cups, or at least wrapped in Teflon, right? They have protective armor over every part. Nothing from the outside can hurt them. They can go through anything. I don't know how true it is, but I think it was one of my kids told me the story of some plastic or rubber bowl that had gone through a hurricane and showed up states away from its original home. People are not Teflon wrapped. We're earthen vessels made with clay and water, and we won't last any longer than our weak bodies allow, and bodies are going to decay. Bodies are decaying. And the more fragile people recognize themselves to be, the more mercy and grace they need from God and from others. But here's why God allows this. So that believers would appreciate the eternal invisible, which will never break and which will never change. Paul says in verse 16, therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man's being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. You're an earthen vessel today so that you would understand that there is a greater eternal coming. It's being worked out. And so, next, those who know they are earthen vessels anticipate a hopeful resurrection. Because this life is not going to last forever. And regardless of how you feel, you won't live on and on and on. Right? The Lord takes little things away, takes little interests away, little cares away. And all the while, he's calling to his people to prioritize and focus on a better life, another world. This physical place isn't the end, the ultimate. You look at chapter 5. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, speaking of the body now, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, our body, which is from heaven. We groan. We're burdened. Not because this earthen vessel is to be rejected. Not because we want to be unbodied. But we want to be further embodied. We want mortality to be swallowed up by immortality. We want this earthenness to be swallowed up by that which is eternal and lasting and no longer earthly. And so Calvin says it's necessary that the present life, this, should decay. Not because it's to be rejected and scorned, but so that believers' souls will be flourishing, looking forward to being swallowed up by that which is life. And you see, that's why for the faithful, this momentary weakness will be replaced by eternal strength. All the physical decay that's in your own body will be overturned. Renovation complete. The best of this life and the best of this life's relationships overwhelmed by the presence of God. And you see, your best moments of being the earthen vessel will be nothing compared to the first moments of glory. You might even be an earthen vessel in its pristine prime condition, but you're still an earthen vessel. But you see, the resurrection then is when the earthen becomes eternal. But are we again anticipating that? Or do we like this too much? Are we looking at others and saying, oh, they're a true Christian, they're like that? We're putting people up on a pedestal, saying, only if only everybody was like that, they can do everything. They seem to be able to go on and on and on. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Also, so that earthen vessels would learn to willingly submit to God. Right, in a few moments, we're going to confess our faith. The words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, Creator. Do I believe that the Creator has created me the way I am? That He knows what He's made? Does He know that He's put His treasure in this earthen vessel with these chips and cracks? Did He think that was best? To be careful here, because Isaiah challenged the people. Shall the jar of clay say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the well-designed say of the designer, he has no understanding? As Paul says in verse 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And here's the challenge, though. We see earthen vessels, and we see maybe other people being earthen vessels, and we see maybe disappointing things because, yeah, they didn't do necessarily what I think they should have. They stumbled. They didn't do enough. They didn't do as much as the next person. They cannot do what even their father did or their grandfather. You see, we need to be careful here. Because God didn't just make one earthen vessel and say everybody's the same earthen vessel. He made earthen vessels. And our purpose then, as we think about serving Him, even in this week, is not to be man-centered. I need to do what other people are doing. No, my purpose is to glorify God in the way in which He's made me glorify Him best. And do we dare say it? Our earthiness helps us in this. Why? Because He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And admitting weakness then isn't an opportunity for people to point the finger. Nor is admitting weakness a badge of victimhood or a badge for sympathy. No, it's as Paul says, I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I know that this is how He's made me. All power is His. And you see, when we understand, when we submit to God as earthen vessels, we can, with Paul, look towards the judgment. It may be surprising, but look at verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see, it's true, earthen vessels can do wrong. They can do sin. They can encourage sin, right? As earthen vessels can waste space, can hold wrong things. Being earthen doesn't dismiss sin. But also, as an earthen vessel, do we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him? Recognizing that the treasure of the gospel is placed in earthen vessels, and my earthen vesselness is to display the power of the gospel, that the power might be of God and not of us. You see, weakness itself does not mean that God is displeased with you. God put His gospel in such an earthen vessel. And you don't have to pretend that you're not an earthen vessel. You don't have to pretend you're a steel tumbler that can go down, roll down the stairs and be unaffected. You weren't created that way. You're not the Tupperware bowl. You're not supposed to handle everything and anything. You're an earthen vessel, and the gospel inside of you is still precious. Actually, if we understand what Paul is saying here, being an earthen vessel is a gift. It doesn't mean it's the ideal. Don't understand this wrong. It's not the ideal. Right? In effect, cancer and genetic defects and bad eyes and anxiety and decaying spinal discs and abnormal stutters and brain disease are all in this world as a result of sin. And we cannot embrace them as a good way in which evolution weeds out the weak. Nor do we embrace them as something to be conquered to make us super people. But I don't think those are our challenges as Reformed communities. Our challenge is, do we recognize God has put this treasure in an earthen vessel? Why? Go back to verse 7. That the power may be of God and not of us. So that you would believe and display the excellency of God. In other words, earthen vessels glorify God. Let us make it our aim then to be an earthen vessel. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Shall the clay say to him who made him, what are you making? Again, as Isaiah records, now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are the work of your hand. I don't know you as a congregation, but I trust that many of you could go around this church, go through every pew, and say, yes, we recognize that person has weakness. Physical weakness, emotional weakness, whatever it is. And you could go through. These are God's gifts to you. Because they're reminders to all of you that the treasure of the gospel is in earthenness. But here's the thing. It's not just those with physical weaknesses that are visible who are earthen. We all are. And we shouldn't demand that others be less earthen. We shouldn't demand more than God did. You are allowed to be an earthen vessel. Because the power of the gospel needs to be of God and not of you. If you say, I got it all together, you're lying to yourself. Or you're denying the reality of the power of the gospel of God. I want to make one application here. And I hope I'm not overstepping. Your pastor is an earthen vessel, too. Do you allow him to be an earthen vessel? Or is he supposed to be the Teflon-wrapped steel bowl who can take everything? He has limited capacity. He has limited energy. And even if you think he does well, he needs strength. He needs strengthening. The power of a prosperous ministry is not of him, it's of God. And do you not only see him that way, but you encourage him to be that? Because you see, whether it's people in the wheelchair or the pastor in the pulpit, we are all earthen vessels. Never as an excuse to be lazy, never as an excuse to sin. But with this recognition, the power of the gospel is of God and not of any one individual person. That's why parents can't convert their children, so that you would know the power is of God. Because yes, you are an earthen vessel as a parent. But it's not just in those kinds of relationships, it's in every relationship. And this earthenness doesn't deny God glory. It gives God glory. It displays the goodness of Christianity because we don't have the same values as the world. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, you need to be able to say, I'm the Lord's. Which brings me all the way back to the first question, the main question. Why would God put this treasure in earthen vessels? He knows. But just imagine this. One day, all these cracked and chipped and brittle and wobbly and weak and slow and tired bodies being raised into a multitude of glorious, perfected bodies. What a day that will be. And if we think that we've achieved at least a decent level of perfection here, sustainability here in our physical bodies, we won't be looking forward to that day. But when we say, right, go through the pews, this cracked one, this chipped one, this broken one, this shaking one, this weak one, raised, perfected, what a day. Let's pray.